Wonderful prayer, and we have a visitor from another state, and that's Henry Bowes. He's been here before, and we didn't hook him when he was here before, but maybe we can convince him to stay this time and move down here. And we have this other lady. Who is she now? We're certainly glad that you're here with us today. And Wilhelmina's friend, she's been here before, but I see that she is back. Yes. Well, we're so glad that you're here. We're glad that each one and every one are here. How many happened to see on the television, this person said his lifelong dream was to go up in the air in a lawn chair? We saw several people saw it. So he and a friend concocted this idea of getting a lot of balloons and hooking them to his lawn chair and going up in the air. So they did a lot of calculations, and that reminded me of this. And sure enough, he did it. He went up and went 192 miles just drifting along. And what was so impressive for me was to ask him, you know, his feelings, and he said it was so quiet. I didn't hear any traffic. I didn't hear any horns blowing. It was so peaceful. And somebody asked him, said, well, how are you going to get down? And so he just says he pulled a balloon and would pop it, you know, let the air out of it so he could come back down. But I just happened to think, you know, it's going to be so wonderful. And he planned this for a very long time. When Jesus comes, we're going to go up without these balloons to meet Jesus in the air, but we have to plan for it. We need to plan for it, and we need to make sure that the promises Jesus gave us comes true in each individual life. And it can't be too much farther away. Let's ask the Lord again just to be with us as we open His Word. Heavenly Father, we know this is your word. We know that Satan would sift us as wheat. And we know that you are more powerful, that you love us, and that you are here with us. And we claim that promise again today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to read something. And you're going to have to you're going to have to pay attention, because I'm going to ask you a question after we get through reading. Now, even as a child, I heard powerful sermons about the shaking. And it always scared me that this earth is going to be shaken. God is going to do that to shake out of His remnant church those that are not living up to its principles. But I found this article, and it was written by one of our historians, and I would like to share it with you today because I was very impressed with it. And it says, the church is in trouble. Now, that's our church. I mean, not our local church here, but the remnant church, the worldwide remnant church. With signs of the end coming thick and fast, many in the church seem uncertain even about how to be saved. And I hope that's none of you here. The leading brethren are not unified about the nature of Christ. A prominent minister proclaims our sanctuary doctrine is in error, stating that Christ went into the most holy place at the ascension. Faith in the prophetic gift manifested by Ellen White seems in decline. Some Adventists are sending their tithes wherever they wish. A conference president is promoting a lively worship style with music that assaults the senses. Can you imagine that in one of our churches? And it looks as though we are going to lose the medical work. Now, that's the end of that. Was that this year? In 2007? No, this was written, and these are the conditions that was going on in 1888. And the decade beyond that. the church could have collapsed, that it was so serious, but it didn't collapse, and it went on to be much stronger. And these were very serious times, without a doubt, and it could have dealt the church a death blow, but it did not. It did not split, and it did not die. And can you say praise God for that? Now, I want to ask you the question. Out of all of those things I just read, there was only one that I determined that is not lurking in the shadows even today. Can you name it? Yes, bless your heart. Oh, me of little faith. I didn't think anyone would get it. But you were alert. The rest of them, I have personally and read about every one of them still lurking in the shadows. And I want to say that it hasn't gone away. Even yesterday, and I find it unsettling every time I get a magazine from somebody that has left the church and is speaking against the church. And what is the number one thing they attack? The spirit of prophecy. And they're all interconnected. You can't attack one without attacking all of them. So some earnestly believe that there is going to be a remnant come out of the church. Now, is that true? Or are the ones that do not believe this message, are they the ones that are going to be shaken out? But they believe sincerely that they are the ones that are out of the church, and they are the ones that have the truth. And who do they target? They target you and I that stay in the church. And I've had so many. Now, this was back when I was at another church, and a person came up close for baptism, and we had a few more lessons to go. And he said, "Have you seen what's on the computer? What they're saying about Ellen White and what they're saying about this?" And I had to go through all of that with him. And he said, "If I had read that first, I would have never set my foot in an Adventist church." So it's out there, it's still there, and we still need to be aware of it, and we still need to know exactly what it is. So I want to ask you, I forgot to say that during that time in the 1880s, there was only 30,000 Seventh-day Adventists. And they could have lost a large number. But I'm just so thankful that they went through. But we need to be aware of what is going on. And I just saw a documentary here not too long ago about Waco. And I'm sure that you all remember that. But there was an article in the local newspaper, even before that happened, the fire that destroyed the place and everybody in it, that said that they weren't called the Shepherd's Rod then, they were called something else. But David Koresh is a parasite. Now, that wasn't an Adventist that wrote it. And he called him a parasite because who does he prey on? He preyed on other Adventists. And I tell you, when it showed their picture, and David Koresh was speaking, and I just looked around, and it's just like looking at every one of you. They were beautiful people. They were beautiful people that got sucked into a deception and lost their lives and their children's lives. And you see how it digressed. And some people, when this happened, said, well, you know, if when he said that all the women, your wives belong to me, he said, that's when I would have left. But see, once you're conditioned, then you'll go along with the next step. You know, I don't think he ever, and who did he prey on? He went to our universities and our colleges to recruit people. And that is, is still going on today if we're not careful. So, who is going to be sifted out and who's going to stay in? And two, if you recall, and I have it right here, if you recall that only did God call people out of paganism, out of Egypt, and out of Babylon. He never called anyone out of Israel. And we are spiritual Israel. And we are the remnant church. And we need to understand that, that we'd never be deceived by some of the things that come through the mail and the things that we hear. I have a shop. I do woodworking. And sometimes I drop small things into the dust and the shavings. And I said, what is the best way of finding that? So I just take a fan and just fan until it blows all of the chaff away until I find the part I'm looking for. And Jesus said he's going to use a fan. And he is going to fan and all the chaff. And Jesus is doing it. Yes. We don't do it. But all the chaff is blown away and he has pure wheat that he gathers into his barns. So it's the ones that are worldly that are going to be sifted out, if not already. And I appreciate Connie saying that she left the church or was out of the church for many years, and so was I, and I've told you this many times. But see, I was looking, I can't answer for her, but I was looking at the wrong place because I was looking at people. And I was looking at them and comparing them. I said, I don't see Jesus in these people. So I left. But see, I was looking in the wrong place. You look at Jesus through his word, through his testimony, and I'm so glad you came back. And I am so glad that I came back, but I decided that I would never come back until I accepted everything 100%. There's no use coming back halfway. And I praise the Lord for that. Now, who are going to be... Or did I leave something out? No, I haven't left anything out. Can you believe that? Oh, I did leave something out. Those that are sending magazines to your home and say, come out. What do they say right behind that? Maybe at the bottom, bring your money with you. So that ought to be a clue right there. And so I think we all can agree, and you've seen it on television or other places, the Bible calls it winnowing. You know, in the Bible lands, they have this big sieve or big whatever they call it, and they take the wheat and the chaff and everything, and they just blow it. You know, they just throw it up in the air, and the wind takes the chaff away. So see, it's the chaff that's going to be sifted out, and the other is going to be sealed. So we have two choices. That's all you have. And you make the decision. It's not God. God is just recognizing the decision you made, and you're either going to be chaff and blown away, or you're going to be sealed where you cannot be moved. Now, I haven't seen this happen in a long time, because you go to the store and buy everything, but we used to do a lot of canning. And I'm sure you ladies know exactly what I'm talking about. And I've seen Mary and her mother, I've seen my mother do it many, many times. And what happens? You put the lid on, and what does it have to do? It pings, yeah. And then it's sealed. If it doesn't, it's still getting air in there, and it'll spoil. But when you hear that little click, you know that it's preserved. You know that it's sealed. And God is going to have a people sealed before he comes. And that's what our desire is. If you would turn now to our text, and this is Romans 12, 1 and 2. And this is talking about those that will be sifted out. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the what I consider the worldly. I beseech ye, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the merits and the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. God is not unreasonable. He is a reasonable God, and he asks us to do reasonable things. And do not be, and here it is, conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you know, I know that you've seen it many times, but I have seen it. The automotive industry, they take a massive sheet of steel, just one massive sheet, and they put it under this press, and it bangs down, and it's changed instantly into whatever shape they want it to be. And I know that you have seen it before. You've seen molds where things are poured into mold and it comes out, and that's the way it stays. But Satan would have us to sift us and to change us into something that God doesn't approve of. And we make the decision. We make the decision if we're going to follow and serve Jesus, that we will not allow this world to stamp its seal on us. The other one would be lovers of self that will be sifted out. That's 2 Timothy 3, and we'll read 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, and 1 through 5. Lovers of self more than lovers of God. But know this, that in the last days, and folks, where are we? Now, I have heard this, and I'm old, and Mary unfortunately sent a picture of me to one of our friends that we went to school with years and years and years ago. And the only thing she wrote back said, I can't believe Jerry, that's Jerry with white hair. So we are getting old, but we're loving it. But what the point I was going to make, I heard about the last days when I was 10 years old, sitting in church, sitting in Sabbath school. And here I've grown old, and Jesus hasn't come yet. And why? Why hasn't Jesus come yet? Yes, don't you think he wants to come? Don't you think he's almost begging us to do what is right so he can come and take us home? I think he is more lonesome for us than we are for him. Okay, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. And here it is, folks, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such, turn away. You know, I would think, and I do have more respect for a person who says, hey, you know, I'm an open sinner. I do all these terrible things. But those that have a form of godliness pretend to be God's special child, a person, they are the ones that are most deceptive. Those are the ones that are the most dangerous. The second one that I have is the... Well, I might have gotten the... Let me check my notes, folks. I'm getting old. It's supposed to be... Well, that was... Well, we need to go to disobedient to the word. Those are the ones that will be sifted out. The ones that are obedient to the words are the ones that's going to stay in. So if you will turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and we'll start with the 25th verse. The 12th chapter, and start at the 25th verse. And it says, see that you do not refuse him, now this is talking about Jesus or God, who speaks. For if they, now we need to find out who they are, they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. All right, who is God speaking to here? Or Paul, who is he referring to? We'll get to that momentarily. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. So God is going to shake out all of the chaff from the church. And it won't be that he will call out a special people to finish the work, because it's right here. Now this, yet once more, which indicates that he has shaken the earth once before that, if you will recall. And those things that cannot be shaken will remain. So when the shaking is completed, there will be those that are outside, there will be those that will stay inside. There will only be two classes. You may recall, and we've said it from this pulpit several times, that when Israel left Egypt and they wandered in the desert, they were at Mount Sinai and God was giving the commandments, and they thought that Moses had stayed a little too long up in the mountain. We don't know where he went. I mean, he's gone. And we know who our God is. And we need to build a golden calf to worship our God. Now, that's not surprising, because they'd been in Egypt many, many years. And they had picked up on their idolatry. But I could not believe that Aaron would allow them to do that. So they intimidated him. He was afraid for his life. But he was left in charge. And at that time, that was God's church. So they intimidated him. He feared for his life. And he said, okay, what did he say? Break off your earrings from your wives, from your sons, and from your daughters. And where did they get those earrings? In Egypt. So they broke off, and you know the story, that he formed this golden calf image. And it's still kind of humorous, but it's so sad. But when Moses came down and asked Moses, you know, what did you do? And he said, well, we took all of this, you know, gold and so forth, and we threw it in the pot, and this calf came out. So he showed a lot of weakness there. So God shook the earth then. And that was in Exodus 32:2, if you want to read it this afternoon. And in Exodus 34:5, God said to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up to you in one moment and consume you. Now, I would be shaking too if I was in that condition and God would say that in my presence. Now, take off, he says, take off your jewelry that I may know what to do with you. So this is the first thing that God is saying, I'm not even going to talk with you until you take these things off. Right. And 3,000 lost their lives right there. And we are told that many more would have lost their lives if they had not repented. And this is what I got out of this. I'd never understood it before. But even in God's anger, he accepted repentance. And he spared their lives. And he is a just God. And he wants all of us to be with him. So, the disobedient will be shaken out before Jesus comes. And I'm not going to tell you because you've heard it so many, many times. We're so closer to the end, we just really don't understand exactly where we are in the stream of time. But see, time is not calculated like we understand time. In God's own time, and his own way, he will close it up. The judgment will cease, and he will come and take us home with him. And we're not going to be riding in balloons, although that would be a lot of fun. And it's not going to be too quiet either. What is that going to be when we go to heaven? Praise the Lord, I'm going to be able to sing at that time. Sing and shout. And we're going to see things that we have never envisioned in our entire life. And now in closing, I'd like to read a statement in book one of Selected Messages. And it's in page 16. So what is it that we need the most? And I found this statement. A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all of our needs. Amen. To seek this should be our first work. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessings of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow his blessing upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give His Holy Spirit to them that ask Him than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. But it is our work by what? Confession, humiliation, repentance, earnest prayer to fulfill the condition upon which God has promised to grant us His blessings. If we do those things, God is faithful and just, and He will reward us. He will answer us. A revival need not be expected. A revival need be expected only in answer to prayer. We will take our songbooks now and turn to page 529, and we will be safe in this world if we remain under the wings of Jesus.